Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hump Show!
Oh, I am always so relieved to get to the Hump Show. And, you know, we celebrate this going back now nearly 10 years to the very beginning of starting our five-night-a-week run. We've been calling it the Hump Show since 2015. So it's a big thing, and we always celebrate it, and I hope that you celebrate it with us. I know a lot of you feel it in the middle of the week where you're kind of in no man's land or no woman's land, where you're not still feeling the rest from the previous weekend, and you're kind of stuck because you feel like you still have such a long way to go to the next weekend. All of that. We get all of that. And for whatever reason, the middle show of the work week is usually the one where I am feeling it the most, especially during football season. So these are ever more valuable because we made it to the football weekend. My husband is now asking me about the football weekend. So it's your weekend coming up, and he's referring to Tuesday and Wednesday. But that's how it goes, because the second you get done with one football weekend, you breathe for about 48 hours, and then bam, right into another one. And I'm not complaining, because we do love our football around here. It's great for business, and it drives the bus, but it's a lot. And so it is the football weekend. It's the Hump Show, middle show of the work week, and we're glad to have you with us. We will shove you forward over the hump into your hump day when it's time. We'll give you a big ol' and get you started. A head start, like you're on a bike with no more training wheels, and we're just going to give you a shove from behind and send you flying. Safely, of course. No one injured in the making of After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At A-Law Radio, I would love to connect with you. If you're hearing the show for the first time or the first time in a long time, here we are at A-Law Radio. If you haven't yet voted for TD of the Week, we're wrapping up a Touchdown Tuesday, and so we'd love for you to cast your vote, maybe going into our next segment. So coming out of our first break here on the show, we can refresh your memory and play those candidates again. Mostly, though, I just love to hear them. It's what gives us a thrill this time of the year. So all the play-by-play from guys who've been in place, many of them for years and years, not all of them. We've got some new guys around the NFL, but we can give you a thrill when we play those candidates again. But you'll need to know where to find the poll, and that's on our show Twix at Amy After Hours or on my account, and then our Facebook page, too. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I have the funniest story to tell you from the grocery store on Tuesday morning, so I'll save that, but I promise we'll get to it at some point. And it's your chance to ask Amy anything. So you can send your questions, same place that you're going to vote for TD of the Week. It's really easy. Look for that bright, obnoxiously orange box. Orange is my favorite color. And no, it's not because it's obnoxious. It's therapeutic. It's bright. It's cheerful. It lifts my spirits and makes me happy just to see it. And people often ask me, like, seriously, I get this question. Did you pick Syracuse for your master's degree? So I did my grad work at Syracuse. Did you pick Syracuse because their colors are orange or because their mascot at the time was the orange man? Now it's just the orange, Otto the Orange. No, I did not pick my university, my graduate studies. I did not spend thousands of dollars, most of which I borrowed, and it took me 20 years to pay them back. I did not do that based on a color, but I do appreciate that you think I'm that devoted to orange. I do go all in. Now, am I happy that Syracuse has orange as its primary color? Sure. But that is not why I went to Syracuse, nor is it why I have rooted for the Denver Broncos since age 13. Right. Maybe you think that at this point, after 8+ years of not having been in the postseason, that I might cringe at the color orange. And yeah, I don't know that I've worn my Broncos hat much lately. That's okay. We all have those stories as fans, right? Where our teams, they take our hearts and they stomp on it like an orange. Actually, you know what I do love about this time of the year is there's orange everywhere as we head into the fall, and it will be fall by the end of the week, officially fall. There are pumpkins, of course. There are orange leaves. There's all kinds of just really pretty orange and browns, and so this time of the year is amazing to get out into nature. But I don't think there's anything as cool as seeing a hippo eat a pumpkin. Pete, this is what happens to me on my social media feed. I watch animal videos, and then, of course, I get animal videos and reels as suggestions, and I get pretty sucked into them. I guess that's good, though. I had often thought about asking this question of people, and maybe we'll do it at some point on the show. What are the top three features or top three subjects that the algorithm sends you on social media? Right, because I think it says a lot about a person what your algorithm shows up, or what shows up on your algorithm, I should say. She said, because she talks for a living and has a master's degree in communications. So the idea of like baby animals everywhere, or right now it's a lot of hippos and pandas. Don't ask me why. Like, I watched one panda video and now my entire feed is pandas. But also Star Wars. So it would be zoo videos, like zoo animals. It would be baby animals. And then it would be Star Wars features.
Okay. All right.
What about you?
For me, it'd probably be news bloopers.
And then, news bloopers, yes. As in TV anchorman?
TV anchorman,
okay.
Or TV reporter, or I love that. and then probably a collection of other bloopers, people falling, and also...
Pete revels in other people's pain.
like QVC bloopers, that stuff, that'll be there. And probably like Mets-related stuff.
All right. All right, so Mets-related videos, but that's third on the list. You know what's crazy, though, is there's more and more evidence. I see it every single day of how our phones listen to us, and that then gets turned into an ad on your favorite social media site. A couple of crazy examples. So my mom, and well, actually us too, but my mom is starting a Bible study through her church on the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. Our pastor at our church in New Jersey is going to, and he announced this recently, he is going to do, I think, a 6-week study on Revelation at the end of the year. Great. Okay. I was talking about that with Bob, and probably talking about it with my mom on the phone too. And weirdly enough, I've never seen any other ad on social media for anything that's religious or has to do with the Bible. But wouldn't you know, I opened up Twix earlier on Tuesday, and there is an ad for a study on Revelation. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
You never see spiritual or religious ads on social media ever. But because I had that conversation with my mom, my phone was listening to me and to Bob. It now showed up on my feed.
Yep, it happened with me. Our family's thinking of cutting the cord on cable.
Are you?
It's we've tried this many times, and we haven't got the solution that we wanted because I need the sports, and my wife doesn't really need much, maybe Bravo, but we have Peacock, so you can watch all the Bravo stuff on Peacock.
Oh, okay, yep.
So I was talking about Hulu, and I think Hulu was a good option.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe 20 minutes later on my phone, there's ads for Hulu.
Oh, my gosh. Those things, they're spying on us.
They are.
So I used to say I would never get an Alexa or what's the other one? Siri.
Right.
Hey, Siri. I would never get one of those smart speakers in my house because they spy on you. But your regular smartphone is spying on you, too. So you don't really need a smart speaker to feel violated by your phone. Yeah, it's insane. I remember even producer Jay, the last time I was doing a half marathon was in the spring, and we were talking about it here on the show, and he started getting ads for half marathons on his phone, his social media, even though it was me who was doing the half because we were talking about it.
That's unreal. It's really
creepy
does.
Is what it is.
Now, we have an Alexa. We were gifted an Alexa for one of the holidays. The only person that really uses it is Timmy because he loves...
Oh, my gosh. What does he tell Alexa to do?
Oh, everything. Play Superhero Squad. Play all these songs. All these old songs. Play Batman. You know, that type of stuff.
Oh, that's amazing. And so then you have these old songs resonating throughout your house?
In my head, and also
in your head, yes.
And ads for it, probably, on my phone.
That's awesome. Wait till Carrie gets started.
Oh.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Just be careful what you say out loud because your phone is spying on you.
That's right.
At Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Easy to find that bright orange box. But I cannot be held responsible if all of a sudden you start getting ads for Syracuse University on your phone. Our number to reach us is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now, coming up on this edition of the show, we have a lot we want to get to, even though it is technically the football weekend. The final week of the WNBA regular season is upon us. That means the playoffs start next week. Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston and Lexi Hall and Kelsey Mitchell and Christy Sides, the Fever. All those people that have the Fever. The Fever is heading into the postseason. They're locked in as the sixth seed. And if you did not know, Caitlin Clark has in fact set multiple rookie records. So she's rewriting the record books, as a matter of fact. She's got more assists than any other rookie in history. Well, and more assists than any other player in one season in WNBA history. She's got both those records. She's also got more points and more three-pointers than any other player who in her rookie year. Yeah, so there's just a lot to love about what she's done this year. I think I saw this headline a few days ago that almost every game in which she's played with the Fever this season has attracted at least a million viewers on TV. At least. That's the baseline. And sometimes those are Friday nights. Sometimes those are on obscure channels like ION. Sometimes those are up against NFL games or other major sporting events. And yet, she continues to be a draw along with the Fever. So my mom is still texting me updates about Kelsey Mitchell and Caitlin Clark. And so she was all over it when Caitlin set a new career high with 35 points in their game. I think it was Sunday, against the Vegas Aces. And so, yeah, she's tearing it up, mostly with her passing. But, yes, we know she can still shoot. However, her prowess as a rookie in the WNBA cannot overshadow what Asia Wilson has done this season for the Aces. Asia is more than likely going to be the MVP of the league again. And she has set the new scoring record and the new rebounding record for a single season. How about that? In back-to-back games. So just tonight in Seattle, she actually surpassed Angel Reese for, and Angel is injured, can't play the rest of the way or the playoffs if they make it. But the single season rebounding record now belongs to Asia Wilson, right after she became the first player in league history to score 1,000 points in a single season. And so this is phenomenal. You've got Caitlin Clark, who is just blowing rookie standards out of the water. In fact, she's raising the bar so high that some of these numbers may never be eclipsed, especially the assist numbers. She's had two triple doubles this year. But Asia Wilson, she has also rewritten the record books and raised the bar across the board in both scoring and rebounding. And apparently Asia didn't know until postgame that she'd set the brand new rebounding mark. But of course, a big deal was made over the weekend when she became the first ever to score 1,000 points.
Not expecting my teammates to bum rush me on the court, but that's who they are. And that's the reason why I love them so much. The way that we love on each other, it goes a long way, particularly in a season where it may not be going our way. It's just a lot going on in people's personal lives, but yet we still show up and we're present for one another. So that moment was huge. And then just to share the moment with my parents, it's always a beautiful thing because they literally have watched me go from not wanting to play basketball to now scoring 1,000 points in the season.
So that's really neat. So you've got these two seasons that are already rewriting record books. They're not even done yet. And for Caitlin, this is just the beginning. Her very first year as a WNBA player, she will continue to get bigger, faster, stronger, better, craftier, more clever, more tuned in to what the rest of the league is doing and how they want to defend her. But yeah, she had a career high 35 going back to the weekend, just adding to her rookie records. But her focus, and I love this, is more about their final regular season game, which is coming up, and getting ready for the playoffs.
We're still going in there to compete and to win, and we know Washington's competing for that last playoff spot as well, too. So we expect it to be a very, very highly competitive game. Obviously, we don't know our opponents still, so you're still kind of waiting around for that. And I think for us, like, you know, no matter who it is, we believe we can win. We believe we can go on the road and win a game, and who knows, maybe two, but at least one, to try to get it back here and have our fans behind us and try to win the third game. So I think we're excited. We're continuing to work hard, trying to refine some things. Like today we came in here and we were pretty competitive for about an hour. So I feel like we still have some areas to improve and just continue to refine so our habits are good going into the playoffs. And I think we're all excited to get there at the same time.
If you can't tell, that's shoot around. And there are obviously other players who are bouncing the basketballs and shooting nearby. And it's generally a reporter scrumble. So she'll be standing against either a Fever banner or just against the wall. And they're not great acoustics in these arenas. And so there's a lot of the background noise. But she's excited about the idea of not just this foray into the postseason for a team that hasn't been there since 2016. But if they can get the series back to Indiana and have a home game, that would be tremendous, right? So they've got one more game on Thursday at Washington, and they're already above 500. So they're guaranteed to finish at least 500, which is a huge deal too. And the only team they haven't beaten this year is the Las Vegas Aces, who they just played twice in Indiana in the past week. But to try to get back on track and have a victory in your final regular season game would be huge. She did mention Washington is still competing for that final playoff spot. So there's a lot on the line, which means it will be a game that's competitive. And yeah, the way that she has changed the league, how people are defending her, but also how she and the Fever are so competitive now. They're giving a lot of teams tough fights, even when they aren't winning, you know, because they've still about 500, have a lot of improvement that they can do. But if you remember how they started out 1-8 and then 3-10. And now here they are above 500. So that's on the horizon, along with the baseball playoffs. And there's still no team who has yet clinched a playoff spot. And so as we go through this hour, some of the games that make an impact on the standings also watching some of those individual marks like Shohei Ohtani. You knew it. Did you hear that he might actually pitch in the playoffs? Wowzers. I mean, it's pretty incredible if you think about it. But for the Dodgers, they lose to the Marlins, but Ohtani has another home run. At the same time, the Padres lost to the Astros in extra innings. So the spread remains 3.5 games atop the National League West. The Brewers and the Phillies are both closing in on a playoff spot. So we will catch up with them. They were actually playing each other in Milwaukee. And then you've got some of these other division battles, too. The wild cards are really competitive. The Mets are right there in the mix. They're one of these crazy stories where they started out just bottom of the barrel. And in New York City, a lot of radio hosts and TV outlets were just ripping the ownership and the front office and another lost season. This was in May. And then they turned it around and became one of the best teams in the league in the course, I guess the course of like June and July, even as the Yankees were tanking. So it's like they can't both be good at the same time. It's a thing. They're like magnets that repel each other. And so, yeah, it might be that both the Yankees and Mets end up in the postseason. We shall see. Much higher expectations for the Yankees, of course, because of the lack of World Series trips in the last, what, 15 years? How long has it been, Peter?
2009.
So, yeah, we're talking about 15 years. And there are only a handful of games left now. So the Yankees just using them because they're the one I was just talking about. They've played 151 games, which means they have 11 to go. That's it. 151 down and 11 to go. So as the WNBA will be tipping off its postseason, you've also got Major League Baseball getting its postseason bracket together. And of course, they start in October. How in the world are we talking about October? October. Uh-huh. Except that it's September 17th. I know this. I will not forget this because it was also my 9-month anniversary. I don't know how long you're allowed to celebrate the months, but we're still doing it to be sure. All right. At A-Law Radio or to send your questions for Ask Amy, you can find that bright orange box on at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. You can also vote for TD of the Week. You'll hear those candidates again coming up. And top of the hour, the surprising Seahawks are 2-0. All right. What about Mike McDaniel's tenure? Just a couple of games in for the youngest coach in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown.
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown.
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Feathers helping into the end zone. Touchdown.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The New York Jets.
Tied at 17, second and four. Jets on the 20-yard line of Tennessee. Play clock at five. Rodgers under center. Braylon Allen alone set back. He takes the handoff, runs right, has a crease to the 15. Oh. Stiff arm, freeway, five, goal line, touchdown. That's a Jet touchdown. And the Jets have the lead back on Braylon Allen's second touchdown of the game.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Darnold under center. Play action to Jones. Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson. Yes! Caught at the 50. Heads one to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Touchdown! A 97-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson.
The New Orleans Saints.
Carson is on the far side. Has Shaheed in front of him. Under center is Carr. Play action to Jamal Williams. He's looking deep, and he's throwing deep, and he's going for Shaheed. Shaheed makes the catch. 10, 5, Goose. See you later. 5. No flags. 70 yards. You can be greedy, my friend, because it makes for a great touchdown.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Here's Cousins. Waving London to the far side. Takes a snap. Kirk looks, sails it. Drake there, caught! Touchdown, Atlanta! Drake London! For the first time in 14 games, he stands in the end zone.
Oh, so much great drama. And we didn't even include the 56-yard chuck to DK Metcalf from Geno Smith. There were other touchdowns in there that were terrific. We can only include four, and so these are the ones we chose. We err on the side of game winners or go-ahead touchdowns late in games or just jaw-droppers. Braylon Allen, he's 20 years old. Maybe you've heard that. From 40-year-old quarterback Aaron Rodgers takes the handoff and rumbles 20 yards for the go-ahead touchdown in Nashville. The Jets get their first win of the year. That's Bob with Shoes In on Jets Radio. Then the 60-yard bomb from Sam Darnold in the end zone to Justin Jefferson behind the defense. He does the rest of the work, 97 yards, which puts Jefferson over 6,000 for his career. And that's Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. Rashid Shaheed, second week in a row that he's also gotten behind the defense, and Derek Carr has found him deep downfield for a long score on Saints Radio. And then Drake London, this from Monday Night Football. We were buried in it 24 hours ago. With 34 seconds to go, catches the pass from Kirk Cousins in the right front quarter of the end zone and is able to score that go-ahead. And so that, for West Durham on Falcons Radio, is still the biggest exclamation point for week number two. So you can vote. I just did retweet at ALOL Radio. It's also on our Facebook page, and we'll reveal coming up a little later on the show. By the way, right after that London touchdown, you may remember that Younghoe Koo had to kick an extra point from 48 yards. And that was because of a penalty on Drake London's celebration. Now, we spoke about it, I'm pretty sure, exactly 24 hours ago, because Marco Belletti is here in studio with us. And we were talking about the fact that it appeared as though he was firing off a machine gun, just kind of randomly, automatic rifle or something along those lines in the air. And he did earn the flag. And Raheem Morris, he was running interference for his receiver on Tuesday.
Initially, I didn't see it. And, you know, I guess it was the use of a weapon, how people interpreted that as a fine, as a penalty. And, you know, Drake is, you know, Drake, he's a great kid. And his intent was not as a use of a weapon. He probably was shooting T-shirts into the stands, to be honest with you, though, because he's just that kind of a guy. But he was excited. He got excited. He's one of those guys that that plays with great energy. He immediately apologized on site before I can even get a chance to correct him.
He was probably shooting T-shirts into the stands. Rapid fire, if you will. That's a bit like a baseball manager coming up with some ridiculous reason why a pitcher accidentally hit another hitter in the hip or plunked him, had a ball go high and tight. It was a hot day and he was sweaty and the ball slipped out of his hands.
Just let it go. Say that he made a mistake and that he corrected himself before you got a chance to leave it at that.
Leave it at that.
T-shirts, stop it. You insult everyone's intelligence. Stop it. Just leave it alone. Stop it.
I like Raheem Morris already. But Drake London, he did say, took accountability for it. If nothing else, just the ill-timed celebration because they were trying to win that game. And at that point, they were tied, actually. But their kicker, Koo the kicker. Kickers are people, too. He was able to bail them out, as he did multiple times. So, yeah, there's always some fallout. Still talking about the hip drop tackle. And we'll see whether or not the NFL makes that more of a priority as we head through the next few weeks, just because there's been so much reaction to it. Now, at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the surprising Seahawks who have played. This is, I guess, just how the cookie crumbles. But they played in week number one, the Denver Broncos, who are starting a rookie quarterback. Then, I guess it should have been Russell Wilson, back when the schedule makers did their thing, maybe. So, Bo Nix in week number one. Week number two, they get the Patriots, who are in a rebuild, of course. And while Jacoby Brissett is a veteran, there's a lot that the Patriots are trying to work out on their offense. And now, coming up in week three, they get the Dolphins without Tua. So, man, they've started out with kind of a soft launch, if you will, in the Mike McDonald era. Of course, they are in the NFC West, and I believe it's maybe week six, don't quote me on that, where they start out with their NFC West opponents. But right now, the Rams are decimated by injuries of all sorts. The Niners aren't much better. They've had a bunch as well, though they're both their O-line and their D-line are in pretty good shape. And so they will have a challenge. It's just wowzers. To talk about like 3 weeks in a row in which you kind of feel like, oh, we've caught teams at the right time.
And we've talked about this before, where you say teams that start off slow because of whatever, practice, preseason, some teams that get hot right out of the gates that are maybe not expected, and they can ride that momentum. I mean, sometimes it falls apart, and Seattle's not a terrible football team, but they're not a team that you would expect to make noise going into the season, but you take what's in front of you, and you can take advantage, and all of a sudden you start to think that you're better than you are. It can kind of carry you through an entire season.
Yeah, so the at the top of the hour, the Seahawks in the spotlight, because Mike McDonald is very different than Pete Carroll, and so we will talk to Greg Bell, who would join us from Tacoma, to look at these surprising Seahawks. And also, next hour, when you're in here, I had this conversation. Well, I was verbally accosted at the grocery store this morning by someone who knows who I am and knows what I do. But I swear to you, he's way off base. He said he did a search on the internet and he found out some details about my life. So,
if it's on the internet, then it's got to be right. That's it. Once you search it on the internet, that's it. That's fact.
Just wait, though. Just wait. It's comical. Of all the things that he could have said about my career, it's comical. So you'll enjoy that. So yes, we'll do Seattle Seahawks. Of course, we're going to get back to more of what we saw in week number two. Look ahead to week number three. Micah Parsons swears that the Cowboys are going to work at it until they are better and more competitive coming off that Saints disaster. So all of that, plus Ask Amy Anything. Send your questions at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page and our phone number 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
N.A.M. is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life electronic device and pet health insurance. Dolphins are going to have to make do without Tua Tagovailoa for at least 4 weeks. Placed on IR, remains in concussion protocol after suffering his third in the last two seasons. Miami's now in the hands of Skylar Thompson. He's your starter. Newly signed Tyler Huntley off the Ravens practice squad. He'll serve as the backup as head coach Mike McDaniel likes having another veteran, but Thompson's his number one.
I do think that it helps the dynamics of the room and to give another guy with starting history to this team and gives another added addition of a guy that's a signal caller that a team can get behind.
Meanwhile, Steelers remain in the hands of Justin Fields, who'll get the call Sunday against the Chargers. Pittsburgh will try to make it three straight wins to begin the season, as Russell Wilson, still not a full participant due to that calf injury. As for that petty game ball that Fields mentioned giving Wilson after they beat the Broncos, don't look for Mike Tomlin to explain that situation any further.
You know, none of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public. You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Elsewhere, Chiefs have brought back running back Kareem Hunt to their practice squad. This, of course, after Isaiah Pacheco was placed on IR. Baseball, Yankees punished the Mariners 11-2. Juan Soto is 40th of the year, 200th of his career, 7th fastest to reach that number. Astros survived the Padres 4-3-10. Twins handled the Guardians 4-1. Giants dominate the Orioles 10-0 as Blake Snell fanned 12 over 6 innings of one-hit ball. Rays too much for the Red Sox 8-3. Mets disposed of the Nationals 10-1. Pete Alonso went deep drove in 5. Cardinals 3, Pirates 1, Reds came back on the Braves 6-5, rallied from 5-1 down, Spencer Steer, your go-ahead two-run shot. Marlins outscored the Dodgers 11-9, Shohei Ohtani is 48th homer in the loss. Tigers outlasted the Royals 3-1-10, Rockies lit up the Brewers 8-2, Rangers 13, Blue Jays 8, Phillies 5, Brewers 1, A's have been the Cubs 4-3, and the Angels blanked the White Sox 5-0. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Ohtani swings, hits a drive, deep to right field. It is into the upper deck for home run number 48. And the Dodgers on the board. It's 4-2 as Shohei Ohtani hits his first home run on the road trip.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just a handful of games left in the Major League Baseball season. And Shohei Ohtani has potential history in front of him. Now, we've talked about this. Slowed down a little bit. As you can imagine, it's late in the season. It's a lot of at-bats. It's been a lot of games. And guys get kind of worn out, maybe dealing with some different injuries, wear and tear type of thing. I mean, Aaron Judge, Bryce Harper, they both went through long droughts without home runs. So, yeah, I can understand how the season drags on and maybe wears on guys a little bit. But the end, at least of the regular season, is in sight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We know the Dodgers split with the Braves, so that was earlier this week. Well, went on through the weekend, right? So they
wrap around series.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Love the term. Wrap it around. The Dodgers and Braves split, but those four consecutive games were the first time in 3+ months that Ohtani had gone without a home run or a stolen base. And again, I do attribute that to not only a lot of times you're seeing pitchers that have seen you before and have their own personal experience with you, but also if it's not the case there, well, then you've just got a lot of games and a lot of hours and a lot of at-bats on your body in a particular season. So, yeah, he had not had four games without a home run or a stolen base since early June. Then you think about Aaron Judge, longest drought without a home run in his entire career until he broke it late last week and got to, I guess, 52 and then 53. Bryce Harper was not that long after. So these guys do still have a little something left in the tank. And for Ohtani, he had a third inning home run against the Marlins. And right now he's sitting on both 48 home runs and 48 steals with 11 games to go. He says he's working on his mechanics, doesn't feel great yet, but he's also said he doesn't feel any pressure, just wants to maintain quality over the course of the entire season. As I say, there has been chatter that he might end up pitching in the postseason, depending on how deep the Dodgers go, which I think is crazy, but this is Ohtani. He's a different kind of athlete. Right now, only Aaron Judge has more home runs in the majors, and only Ellie De La Cruz has more steals. Although for Ellie, oh my gosh, he's got 64, obviously pacing all of Major League Baseball. So keeping our eyes on that history, it's just, it kind of blows me away, though, that going back to, and I'd have to see the exact date when Aaron Judge hit 51, he was on pace. Remember, he had multiple games in which he'd had more than one homer. He was on pace to not only match his American League record from 2 years ago, but actually eclipse it. And I'll see you 62 and raise you, blah, blah, blah. So he was on pace, a torrid pace, and then cooled off. And I was confident that Shohei Ohtani was going to become baseball's first 50-50 man long before the season was done. But yeah, these are human beings and they're facing other human beings, and there's a lot more on the line. And I'll say again what I've said throughout the course of the summer, which is that the Dodgers are going to benefit from having been in a race for the division title. Now, they've maintained it, but multiple times we've seen the Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres get within striking distance a couple of games. It's been 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5 for most of the last month. But the fact that they've had to fight and scratch and claw, of course they get everyone else's best shot because they are the big bad Dodgers. But the way that they've had to fight to keep these teams behind them, really do think they've played better baseball because they've had competition in the NL West. Though they did not win against the Marlins, man, Bobby Miller, kind of a rough outing for him. And really this will be the Dodgers' major question mark heading into the postseason. What about their starting rotation? How short can they make this rotation? Who can they count on? So Miller lasts just 2 innings, allows 4 runs on 7 hits, and yeah, put him in a hole.
You know, at the end of the day, I was just falling behind in counts. That's really just the main thing. And I didn't have my best pitch working for me, the changeup. But yeah, I was leaning a lot more on the two-seamer today. I thought that was working out pretty well, getting a lot more ground balls. But yeah, I was finding gaps.
So for Bobby Miller, yeah, this was a bit of a mess, right? Even though he felt like he threw some pitches, he didn't have the pitch that he normally relies on. And honestly, even though that Dodgers lineup can provide a lot of pop, when you give up the four runs and the 7 hits in just the 2 innings, and then you think about what the bullpen has to do after that. So even though the Dodgers put four on the board, in the third, there goes the perfect show, and they tied the game, they were in a battle all game long because of the pitching. And yeah, the pressure on their bullpen, certainly the guys on the back end having to use 6 different pitchers in this game, though the Marlins weren't much better, but they're the Marlins, so they have an excuse. I mean, the Dodgers have plenty of pop, plenty of offense, but their pitching rotation has seen I don't know how many different iterations, and they've had really no stability at all in their pitching rotation over the course of the season. Hey, while we're talking about stolen bases, we need to keep our attention on Bobby Witt Jr.
Junior's running, a bobble, and stolen base number 30. And with that, Bobby Witt Jr. becomes the first shortstop in Major League history to have 2 30-30 seasons.
How about that? And the Royals, of course, have had a bit of a resurgent season themselves. So right now they are sitting in second place in the Central behind the Guardians, but they are sitting in the number 2 spot when it comes to the wild cards, and actually only 2.5 back of the Orioles, even though time is starting to run out now. We could have 3 teams from the Central three teams from the AL Central into the playoffs. As it stands right now, it's Orioles, Royals, and Twins. And then the Tigers, who've been coming on in the late stages of this season, they would actually provide another American League Central team if something drastically changed. Most of the AL East has fallen off behind the Yankees and the Orioles. Yankees, they're on the road in Seattle, a team that had also fallen off. And while it wasn't Aaron Judge with a home run, he had a huge double in this game. I think four RBI. It was his crony, Juan Soto.
The pitch. Swing and a high drive driven deep into left center field. Moving back, Rodriguez. Oh. He turns, and it's gone! It's a home run! The 200th career home run for Juan Soto. Check off T-Mobile Park. Soto's homered in all 30 of them, and he does it at the ripe age of 25. It's now 6-1 Yankees as he goes yard to left center.
I know he's been thinking about that a little bit, and to get it, you know, do all that with one swing, that was pretty impressive. He's been having an incredible year. You know, we're lucky to have him, but that was, what a shot. Opposite field like that, and that was fun to watch.
That's Aaron Judge talking about Juan Soto. So career home run number 200. Also, his 40th this season, which is a new career high. And he now has a home run in every single stadium in the majors.
It's a great feeling for me. I think, you know, it's so many different ballparks, so many different dimensions. I just want to get all of them checked in, you know. What a best way to go to free agency with all 30 homers, all 30 ballparks checking my list.
It went from a high, 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 high mark for the Yankees in a win celebrating Juan Soto to what? Free agency? What? I thought he was going to stay here. Well, that's a bit of angst and anxiety for another month. Let's see what the Yankees do in this postseason. Now on 88 wins, and this is a six-game road trip here, but they have padded their lead atop the East to four games over the Orioles. This is actually their largest lead in the division since early June. So it's looking good on that front, though don't know about Aaron Judge and the home runs. But the Yankees, the Orioles, expecting to see them in the playoffs. Houston will be there again, too, more than likely. Will they get to an eighth straight ALCS? The Dodgers, they continue their dominance in the West, but they've had the disappointment in the playoffs. The Phillies and the Brewers are actually going back and forth, trying to secure best record in the National League. So we'll get back to baseball, but talking Seattle Seahawks straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.